Blog Talk Radio.
Glory to God. Give praise to the King. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Hallelujah. Yeah. Come on, put your hands together. Let's bless the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Control, just in case the enemies have tried to bring the spirit
of deception and try to deceive you, try to make you think that God is not in control. Yes, God is in control. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace. And why don't you come and go with us as we go before the Most High God. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We lift your name up high. We give you all the praise and glory. God, we give you the honor. We thank you, God, for what you're about to do, God, on this broadcast. Have your way, God, even now. Lord, let the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. We thank God today once again for this hour of power broadcast. Yes, we are broadcasting live from the bold and beautiful city of Jacksonville, Florida, and yes, this is the day that the Lord has made. We want you to get ready for God to just build your faith. We want you to get ready for God to do great and mighty things in you on today. All you need to do is believe the word of God. Believe his report. Believe what God is speaking to you today. We're not coming from any magazine. We're not coming from any other media that will say anything else than what we are speaking of about our God. We're here to preach the unadulterated, uncompromising word of God that is able to save, to deliver, and to make free. Well, you're going to find us today in Luke, that seventh chapter. That is in the New Testament. And it reads, now when he had ended all of his saying in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum. And his servant centurion servant who was dear to him was sick and ready to die. And when he heard of Jesus, he sent to him the elder of the Jews, beseeching him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, he besought him instantly, saying that he was worthy for whom he should do this. And he loved our nation, and he had built us a synagogue. And Jesus went with them. And when he had come, now not far from the house of the centurion, sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not thyself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Let's stop there. I see it, as we began to look at the word of God, even I believe that the Lord would give you insight and see. First of all, I want you to know today that there is nothing too hard, nothing too difficult, nothing impossible with God. I want you to know today that faith moves God. We'll be using that as a topic, as faith moves God. But we can have that faith. The Bible says we can have the faith of a grain of mustard seed. Say to the mountain, be thou moved, it shall be moved. So we see here that this centurion servant who was dear to him was sick, and he was at the point he was ready to die. And when this man had heard of Jesus, he sent the elder of a Jew beseeching him that he would come and that he would heal his servant. I don't know about you, but when I have heard the good news of Jesus Christ, when I read the word of God, because the word of God says to study, to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God need not be ashamed to rightly divide the word of truth. Word of God says we shall know the truth, and the truth will make us free. He said, whom the Son has made free is free indeed. So we see that the centurion had sent for Jesus to come and to heal his servant, because his servant was sick, was at the point of death. So when they got to Jesus, they began to Jesus something about the man that sent him. Come on. He said that he loved our nation, that he has built us a synagogue. And it also tells us in that sixth verse, it says when Jesus went with them and when he was now afar off from the house, the centurion sent friends to him, saying to him, Lord, trouble not yourself, but I'm not worthy that you should enter under my roof. I'm talking about faith. I'm talking about somebody that was standing in faith, believing God, you know, in himself. I don't believe it was a point of him being proud. I believe that it was to his benefit, to him, just because he was humble, but because he didn't feel himself being worthy for Jesus to come under his roof. He had so much reverence for the Most High God that he didn't even want Jesus to come under his roof. He said, I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. Therefore, neither thought I myself worthy to come to you. Look at what he said. He said, I'm not worthy that you should come under my roof. And then he says that he also thought himself not worthy to come to you, but say in a word that my servant shall be healed. Oh, my God, that is faith. That is faith believing God. I mean, this man believed God to the point that, Lord, you don't have to be here. But if you just speak the word, then my servant will be here. I'm not worthy that he's even saying, I'm not worthy to stand before you. I'm not worthy for you to even come under my roof. But if you speak the word, my servant shall be healed. He said, for I am a man set on authority, having under me soldiers, that I say unto one, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him and turned him about and said to the people that followed him, I say to you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. I can understand why Jesus Christ, why he was saying this to them, because he said that he had not found so great a faith in Israel. So when we look at God, we can see that God, he wants us to have faith. He wants us to stand on his word. He wants us to believe him. No matter if we're in Alaska, or Hawaii, wherever we may be, and there is a sickness, or there is a disease, or there is a infirmity, or there is whatever the need it may be, that God is able to heal and to deliver. It doesn't matter where the distance. It doesn't matter if you can't see the individual or that person. All you need to do is to speak the word of God. And that is what the centurion, he wanted, God, I don't want you to come under my roof because of the fact I'm not worthy. And I don't think that I'm worthy enough to come to you. But if you just speak the word, then my servant will be healed. And Jesus marveled at that. Jesus, he took recognition to this because he sees that this man had great faith. And he said his faith was so great, he had not seen so great a faith, no, not in Israel. And they that were sent returned to the house and found the servant whole that had been sick. Jesus didn't come to the man. He didn't come to the house. But Jesus was able to send the word. He was able to speak the word. And that man's servant was made whole. He was at the point of dying. But because of his faith, I'm saying today that faith moves God. The word of God said that we have the faith of a grain of mustard seed and say to the mountains, be thou moved. The word of God says that it shall be moved. No matter what the situation it is in your life, that if you just can believe God, if it's a financial need, God is able to meet that need. A sickness, God is able to heal that individual or those individuals that are ill. If there is something that you need that God can move inside of you, you may need peace. You may need some joy. You need to meet some contentment. I'm saying to you that God is able to do whatever is needed. All we need to do is to realize that God, he is God, and that he is God all by himself. We cannot downgrade God. And we have to realize that he is God. And, you know, sometimes just because we don't see things right then, we begin to think that God is not moving and God is not listening and God is not going to do it. But we need to have the faith like the centurion had. He believed God. He believed God so that it wasn't important if Christ came in his room, under his roof, or he went to Christ. He just believed that if God spoke the word, that his servant would be healed. And the word of God let us know that the servant, when they had returned, that the servant was healed, that servant was made whole. And then it began to tell us it came to pass that day after he had went into the city called Nain, and many of the disciples went with him and much people. And when he had came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and much people of the city was with her. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, weep not. And he came and he touched the bier, and they that bare him stood still. And he said, young woman, I say to you, arise. Young man, he said to the young man, not the young woman, young man, I say to you, arise. And he that was dead, sat up and began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. So here we see faith again. We see faith as Jesus had compassion on this mother who had only one son. And the word of God let us know that that son had died. And after he had died, they was getting ready to bury him. They was carrying him. They was getting ready to put him to rest. But you know what? The Lord has just put it in my spirit that many people, just because things happen in their life and they don't see an answer, they don't see things being made indifferent, and they will say that it is over, that nothing that no one can do about the situation can resolve the matter. But I want you to know today that it is not over until God says it is over. I mean, we have to think about the God that we serve, the God that is before us, the God that came to seek and to save them that are lost. There are things in our lives that people have said that it is over. You know, things that you can't do anything about it. Forget about it. You know, your house is gone. You know, you can't pay the mortgage. Forget about it. It's gone. It's your car. You're 4 months behind. And it's over. Forget about that car. Or you may be looking at a wayward child. And the enemy of the system says that it's over. That it is not over until God says it is over. We see this man, a man that was dead, and the neighbors and the people around him, yes, they would say that it's over. It's over. His life is over. But you know, when Jesus seen this woman, she was going the right way. But it was ordained for God to be where he was. Because the word say this was this woman's only son. But God let them know, as well as letting her know, that it was not over until God said that it was over. Because Jesus touched him. He touched the beard, the one that was carrying him, that buried him, and they stood still, the word of God said. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. That's all he had to say. Young man, arise. Get up. Sit up. Get up. And it was by the miraculous. It was by the supernatural that this thing was done. And every time I read incidents and things as this, as the word of God is spoken to us, and as I read the word of God, sometimes I really think about in the 11th chapter of the word of God of John, and it tells us about Lazarus, how they thought again that it was over. You know why they thought it was over? Because Lazarus was dead for 4 days. I don't know how long this young man had went to sleep, how long that they had pronounced him dead. But for Lazarus, it had been 4 days. And then when Jesus got there, it was 4 days. And when Jesus asked them to show him where Lazarus was, then they was like, he's dead. He's been dead 4 days, and by now he's stinking. Well, they were calling it over. They knew that his blood had stopped running in his veins. They just knew that his respiratory system was not functioning. That his respiratory system, his circulatory system, was not functioning. They knew that he wasn't breathing. He wasn't moving. You know. That rigor mortis had set upon him. So then, in their mind, it was over. But I'm saying to you that even as Jesus, we see here what Jesus had told this young man, he said, arise. You know, he was able to call Lazarus out. And he didn't call him Jim, and he didn't call him Sam. He didn't call him Ted. He didn't call him Tim. But he called him Lazarus. You know why? Because that was his name. And that was the person that he wanted to come for. And his name was Lazarus. And Lazarus, the man that was dead for 4 days, he came forth. So we have to build our faith with the word of God. It is important that we stand on the word of God. And we are just talking today about the things that to build your faith and the things that God has done, the things that God is doing. I remember a lady, a woman of God that loved God. And because I want to relate to you. You may say, well, this Dr. McCoy happened in the word of God, and I haven't read, I haven't seen these things coming the past. Well, I want to let you know there was a woman that believed God, a woman that stood in faith, power, and anointing, a woman that knew that there was nothing too hard for God. And this woman had gone to the hospital, and the person that was in, it was a male that was in the hospital, and when they were, I don't know, was it an emergency room, I don't know what, in the man's room, I don't know, but I do know that the doctor had pronounced this man dead. He was no longer, and most likely they called the time. You know how if a person died 3 o'clock, he died 3 o'clock a.m., or he died 3:15. I don't know what time they pronounced him dead. But I do know the power of God. I do know that God is still using men and women to bring his word to the people and to let them know the power of God. Well, when the doctor's physician had left and they were saying it was over, when the anesthesiologist had left the room for them to probably dress him and get him ready for the family to come see him and saying that it was over, no, it was not over. Remember, it's not over until God says it's over. This woman of God prayed for this man. And I want you to know that life came back unto his body. Why? Because she believed God. Why? Because she stood on the word of God. I'm telling you this morning, our topic is faith moves God. And we have to stand on the word of God. We have to stand and on that now faith to believe God now. Because the word of God says that he is able to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, and that there is nothing too hard for God. So after Jesus spoke to the man, he told the man to rise, and he that was dead sat up. So the word tells us now in Luke, the 7th chapter, in that 15th verse, it says, and he that was dead sat up and began to speak. He didn't just sit up, but he began to speak, and he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all they that glorified God. And they glorified God, saying, that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. I believe when things like that happen, but we can allow God to use us in that type of a miraculous and a supernatural, that it will get people attention. You know, just like we read some of the time in the word of God, how the man that was blind, I'm not talking about his eyes was put out because a rock hit him. I'm not talking about he had glaucoma and he lost his sight. But I'm talking about a man that was born blind. Born blind from his mother's womb. And the Lord God brought sight back unto his eyes. And he was able to see. So therefore, it is so important that we build our faith in God's word. And so it may seem like sometimes that things are so difficult, and it may seem hard because you know what? The enemy wants you to see and want you to make it seem, want to make you feel like things are too difficult, it's too hard to do. But there is nothing too hard for God. God is able to do any and everything. But all we have to do is to stand on his word. And, you know, it's so important that we put God's word to action. Now, many times, you know, we can say certain things. We can say move. We can tell somebody to move. And if they don't move, it's like a person may have a infirmity in their leg, and for some reason they can't. It's difficult for them to move that leg. Maybe there's maybe a bone fracture to them, and they can't move. It's difficult for them to move. Now, if you say move, and you're trying to do it in faith, but you don't really have that faith to believe that this man or this woman or this boy or girl is going to be healed, because you don't really believe God. You heard somebody say that, but you don't really believe, because as a matter of fact, you haven't really said the word. You're not hearing God's word, because the word of God says faith comes by hearing by the word of God. If you haven't built that faith up on the inside of you to just to know that God is going to do this thing, then you most likely is not going to see a miracle happen. Why? Because you're not believing God. You're not standing on his word of God. It's just like oil, gasoline that you put into a tank. If the tank is empty, then you should not expect for that car to move or go very far, because it's like it's no gasoline inside of that vehicle. But when you put that gas inside of it, when you begin to expect for it to move, then you're going to see the miraculous being manifested. You're going to see, because why? When you put gas in it, when you put gas in that vehicle is going to move if it needs gas. So it is in the word of God. When we put the word of God inside of us, you may say, Dr. McCoy, how am I going to put the word of God inside of me? Well, as I said before, the word of God says, to study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman of God, need not be ashamed to write about the word of truth. You have to put the word of truth inside of you. You got to believe God. You got, the Bible says you believe that I'm able to do this. If you just believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So if we want to do miracles, if we want to do signs and wonders, if we want to be that preacher, that teacher, if we want to be that evangelist, we're going to have to stay in the word of God. We're going to have to read the word of God. We have to ask God to give us that unshakable of faith. We're going to have to stand upon his word like never before. The man that was dead, he sat up and he began to speak. And so we thank God that God did such a miraculous thing to him. And look what happened. The word of God tells us in that 16th verse, and there came a fear on all, and they glorified God. Because, you know, they hadn't seen anything like this, saying that a great prophet was risen up among us, and that God has visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region right around about. Why? Because a miracle was manifested. We need more miracles. We need more healing. We need more deliverance. We need to see the hand of God being manifested. Because, you know, when I think about Moses, when God called Moses, remember he called Moses in Exodus, the third chapter, how he had called him, and he was God let him see this burning bush that didn't consume, that bush that didn't burn up. He got Moses' attention, because in all right, the bush supposed to be consumed. The bush supposed to burn up. But that's the way that God got his attention. And then when he did, he let him know what he wanted him to do, how he wanted him to go to Pharaoh. Not only that, but God told, he told him, what, I'm going to show you some things that you're going to get Pharaoh's attention. He told him, and he was just instructed him, and I've talked about this before. He told him to put his hand into his bosom. Moses did it. He took it out, and his hand was like a leopard's. It was white. That was a normal texture of the way that his hand should have been. It wasn't what Moses' hand should have been. But God told him to put it back in his bosom. When he took it out, it was natural. It was the way that it should have been. And then God let him know, what did you have in your hand? And he let God know it was a rod. God, of course he knew it was a rod. But God was instructing him. That's what God wants us to do. That's why he God is not here to show you, say, you know, to be in the flesh, but certainly in the spirit realm, that we can, that he can manifest himself to us and manifest himself in us, that we can do the same thing that he did. So he told Moses, what do you have in your hand? And Moses let him know it was a rod. Take a rod and throw the rod down. And when he did, the rod became like a snake. And then, you know, of course he's going to be frightened because, my goodness, when you're teaching someone, instructing someone, and you see something like the supernatural happen, and miracles happen like that, then you might take a leap back or jump back because of the fact that, oh, my goodness, what just happened here? Well, God was instructing him. God was teaching him. And then he further instructed him, after the rod had turned into a snake, he told him how to pick that snake up. He didn't just try to grab it in any kind of place or in order to pick it up, but he told him how to do it, to take it by the tail and pick it up. And so he did so, and it turned back into the rod. And then God told him about the water, the post on the sand, and it did, and it turned like blood. So God is a teaching God. He teaches us. But how are we going to teach if we don't hear the word of God? How are we going to learn if we can't read the word of God? How is faith going to be built if we don't get in the word of God? That is what the enemy is. Our greatest, Satan's our greatest enemy, because he does not want us to know the power of God. And there is power in the word of God. We've seen it this morning. We see what God did to the centurion's servant, how he healed him. We see how the woman that was a widow and she had only one son, we see how they brought him back to life. So God wants to use you and me to do the supernatural. You see how they got the people's attention, how it began to spread abroad, how rumors had gone forth, the word of God said from Judea and throughout all the region about. Why? Because they seen the evidence of God. They seen something that didn't happen daily. It happened. Don't you want God to be glorified? Don't you want God to be exalted? Don't you want God to be praised? The Bible says, if I be lifted up, he said that he will draw all men unto him. So therefore, God wants us to lift him up. Yes, we want to lift his name up. We want to lift his word up. We want to tell them about Jesus. But at the same time, we want to be able to move in the same realm that God moved in. He said we're going to do greater works than he did. So, yes. I mean, when you think about it, all the things that he did, and he said that we're going to do greater work. I mean, look what he did to Lazarus, what he did to this young man. Look how he healed the centurion. I mean, come on. And remember the man that had these friends that he was paralyzed, couldn't get up, and they couldn't get in to see Jesus. And his friends, they didn't stop at, no, you can't get in, it's too crowded. Because I'm about to say, you know, just like going to the doctor's office, I'm not going to stay here this long time. We can't get in. Don't you see the crowd? No, they tore off the roof, and they let the band through the roof because they had faith to know if I get this man to Jesus, then it's going to be all right. So here I say to you today that it's time for us to believe God. It's time for us to stand on God's word. We're getting ready to go before the throne of grace, but we just want you to know, why don't you go back? And there's other miracles, and there's other things that God has did in this chapter today, in Luke, the seventh chapter. And our study today, it would take you from the first verse until that 50th verse of that same chapter of Luke. So why don't you just take it and read it, and not just read it one time. You know, sometimes I read things like three times, you know, before I'm finished with it. Could be four. You know, I'll read it because I'm getting understanding. I'm getting revelation of what I'm reading. Because nine times out of ten, you read something the first time, you're not getting the fullness of it. But if you could keep reading, it's like chewing. You chew your food. And, you know, you need to chew it more than one time. We're told that. That we're supposed, a certain amount of time that we're supposed to chew our food. But the Word of God tells us to meditate. And Joshua, it tells us to meditate on the Word day and night. So we need to meditate upon the Word of God. We get ready to go before the throne of grace. Our Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify your name. We thank you to God for all that you have done. We thank you to God for all, God, that you're going to do according to your word. We thank you, God, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Father, we thank you, God, today for the message that you have given us, faithful God. And so today, God, fill the faith of millions and millions of people. Cause that faith to go to and give them to that next level, to that higher height and that deeper depth in them, in you. Cause them to know, God, that you are God and God all by yourself. Let them know, God, that situation in their life is not over until you say it's over. God, we told them about their bills and their mortgages and their the cars that they drive, the infirmities in their body, the infirmities that is other people's bodies. Lord, it's time for us to be about your business. So, Lord, we pray even today, God, that we will allow the supernatural and the miraculous to be done, Father, in us, that we too can be able, that others can talk around the city and around the state, God, of your goodness. Because we remember, God, you say if you be lifted up, Father, that you will do the drawing. And, God, that you will draw all men unto you. So, Lord, I pray even now that there will be a change. There will be a change. That, God, that we will be and, God, that we'll begin to pray. And, God, that we'll be able to seek your face. Father, even as your word say, give my people that are called by my name will humble themselves and pray. Seek your face, turn away from the wicked ways. You say, God, that you will hear from heaven. You say, God, that you will forgive the sin. And you say that you will heal the land. So, God, heal and heal the land. And, Father, we thank you and we praise thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. You have been listening to the Hour of Power broadcast with Dr. Mary Mel McCoy. Our topic of the day will let you know that God is in love with you and that we must allow God. We must allow God to call our faith. We must allow God to build our faith because faith moves God. We want to bless you and thank God for you. Please tune in on Fridays as God begins things in us. If you're not saved, ask the Lord Jesus to come into your heart. The Bible says we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in our heart. God raises from the dead. The Word of God says that you shall be saved. May God bless and keep you is our prayer.